Greetings. Thank you for joining us on this Mother's Day. When we look at the Bible, from the very beginning, it starts in a garden, the Garden of Eden. And in that garden, God gave Adam and Eve, the first human beings, everything that they needed to thrive. The book of Genesis is the book of origins. It tells the story of how all things began. It tells the story of how creation took place. It tells us about the covenant that God makes with Abraham. It talks about the first universal judgment in the whole world, the flood that takes place, a precursor to what's going to happen at the end of time in the book of Revelation when God will judge the world for sin. Genesis is foundational to our understanding of life. It's also the beginning of sin. Genesis chapter 3, referred to by theologians as the fall. But in that same chapter of God's judgment against human sin, we see God's grace in that chapter. The promise that one day a descendant of Eve would crush that serpent. And the fact that God covered Adam and Eve's nakedness with those animal skins. Our God is a God of grace, a God of provision. And what we find in the book of Genesis is the foundation of family, the foundation of motherhood. Genesis chapter 1 tells us on the sixth day of creation that God created mankind, humanity, in His image, male and female, He created them. Genesis chapter 2 goes into more detail about the manner in which God created Adam and Eve. Genesis 2 tells us that the Lord God took from the dirt or the dust of the earth and fashioned and formed a man. And God breathed the breath of life into that man. God gave this man, Adam, dominion over all of God's creation. Adam had authority. Adam named the animals. Yet of all those things and beings that God had made, none of them were found to be a suitable helper for Adam. Then the Lord God put Adam into a deep sleep, and God took out one of his ribs, and from that rib he fashioned and formed another creation, something made in God's very own image. And when Adam woke up from his sleep, he was amazed at what he saw. He said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." And just as Adam named all of the other creatures, he said, "This shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Adam and Eve became husband and wife. The Lord God Himself officiated their wedding ceremony. Adam and Eve began family. Adam and Eve had sons. Their firstborn son was named Cain. Then they had Abel. Tragically, in Genesis chapter 4, Abel was murdered by his brother Cain, yet they had another son named Seth. You see, Eve, her name means mother of all the living. And certainly she is the mother of all the living. Years ago, Arnold Schwarzenegger was in a movie in 1994. It was ridiculous how the movie was set up, because here is this guy who was known for being the Terminator and for being fighting against the Predator and Commando, all those macho movies in the 1980s. But here was 1990, he was in that movie Kindergarten Cop that was real popular, seeing big former professional bodybuilder being a kindergarten undercover cop teacher. But then they made a movie that was just unbelievable. It was called Junior. And in this movie, Schwarzenegger is a research scientist, and he has implanted within him an embryo, and you watch this former bodybuilder, this tough commando guy that you see from all the earlier movies, become pregnant and carry a baby all the way to term. And it was just weird, but it was insanely popular back in the early 1990s. It was humorous, but we knew that it wasn't right. Because God intended for women to be mothers. God has created and established women made in the image of God in the context of the marriage relationship to be able to be mothers and have children. That's what we know. That is foundational for the human race. Today is Mother's Day, a day to celebrate mothers. It's a big day. You know, we have lots of holidays that we celebrate throughout each year. But when you think about Mother's Day, it's one that you really cannot neglect because all of us are here on this earth because we had a mother who gave birth to us. Maybe you have been part of a church that has Sunday night worship services. I know I've served on staff at churches that have had Sunday night worship services. And sometimes we would have debates in deacons meetings and staff meetings, church council meetings, trying to plan out the calendar of the year. And we talk about whether or not we're going to have Sunday night church on Super Bowl Sunday night or even on Father's Day. But there was never a question that you were not going to have church on Mother's Day Sunday night. That was a day set aside to spoil, pamper, bless, show all the love and affection that mothers deserve. And so I hope that you've already begun your day and that you are feeling the love and encouragement as a mother. You know, I've never preached a Mother's Day message before. And all I know to do is to simply tell you about some characters in the Bible, mothers, and then end with a passage, a well-known passage in the book of Proverbs. But before I do that, let me speak a little bit toward motherhood. Not that I can speak from any personal experience, but I can speak toward motherhood in the sense that motherhood is difficult. Motherhood is painful. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, that part of the judgment was that Adam would work the earth and it would be difficult for him. And then Eve was told that childbearing would now be painful for her. Motherhood is painful. Motherhood is difficult. For those that knew my family and knows my family now, as I grew up in Northwest Alabama, I'm the second of five boys. And my father is one of the hardest working men that I've ever known. My dad would wake up early in the morning and go to construction sites. Long before I'd wake up, my dad would be gone, and then I'd come home from school, and at dinner time, Dad would finally come home working many, many hours. He did this for years. Hard-working father. But my mom had five sons, from the oldest to the youngest, 10 years apart. And there were moments in our childhood, certainly, where my mom wanted to scream because of how difficult it was tending to all of those boys. But look, all it takes is just one child. One child is enough. It's difficult being a parent. It's difficult being a mother. It's challenging. It requires incredible wisdom, mercy, discipline. All of those aspects in our lives are necessary if you're going to be a successful parent. Motherhood is challenging. It is a recipe for anxiety and heartache. How many sleepless nights have mothers had being concerned about their children, not doing what their children should be doing? And how many mothers' hearts have been broken by the rebellion of their own children? So there's heartache. There's worry, there's pain, there's difficulty, there's stress, there's incredible fatigue which comes to being a mother. But if you were to ask any mother, was it worth it? The pain of childbirth, the struggle of raising a family, the challenges for working moms having children, the challenges for stay-at-home moms having children, all of the difficulties that those mothers have faced, if you ask them, was it worth it? They would all say, absolutely yes. Because by the grace of God, He has given mothers the great privilege to bring life into this world. I don't know a lot about motherhood, but I am the father of three children. And I can tell you this, I really loved being there when all three of my children were born there in those three different hospitals. And oh, how I wanted to grab hold of those little babies and hold them and cherish them as their father. But when my sweet wife Jennifer held those newborn babies, it was magnificent to behold. I could just look at her holding those children for hours. Such a beautiful sight, such a precious thing. And that's why I believe Mother's Day is so significant to so many people. It's something that all of us can relate to. We're all here on this planet because a mother gave birth to us. All throughout the Bible, we have stories of incredible women, incredible mothers. The Old Testament is full of amazing stories, stories that we grew up learning in Sunday school and Bible study classes. Let's think about just a few of the mothers in the Old Testament. I spoke already about Eve, who is the mother of all the living, but what about Rebekah? Rebekah, she married Isaac. Isaac being the son of Abraham, the man whom God made a covenant with. Abraham and Sarah, his wife, were so concerned that their son Isaac, the child of promise, would find a suitable wife that they sent him on a mission with their servant Eliezer. And there, to see how Isaac first met Rebekah. She was a beautiful woman, but she was also incredibly strong and hardworking. She drew water for every one of Isaac's camels. This was an amazing woman, Rebekah. But Rebekah, like so many of the wives of the patriarchs, struggled in that she was barren. But Isaac prayed, and God heard his prayers. And God, of course, gave her those twins, Jacob and Esau. We see other of the wives of the patriarchs that struggled with fertility and infertility. We see Rachel. I mentioned Sarah before. It's a common pattern that we find throughout the Bible. And it's also a common pattern in our society. When I was in seminary, I took a class called Spiritual Formations. And I love my professor. He is with the Lord Jesus now. He died at a young age of a heart attack. He started out his career as a medical doctor, Dr. William Cottrell. He was an OBGYN in the Dallas area. Then he went to seminary, Dallas Theological Seminary, and he ended up being one of the professors at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary where I got my master's degree. But Dr. Cottrell challenged all of us young preachers in the classroom to think about Mother's Day and to think about how we might minister as pastors to those in our congregation who were unable to have children or were still hoping to have children. And I think on Mother's Day, we want to be sensitive to that. We want to honor mothers for their incredible contribution to our world, but also be prayerful and encouraging and know that we find our total fulfillment not in motherhood, not in fatherhood, not in family. We find our ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never had children of His own. Jesus Christ was never married, yet Jesus Christ was and is the God-man walking on the earth in total perfection. Oh, how we see and find fulfillment in Jesus alone. When we come throughout the Old Testament, though, we see some other incredible mothers. I think about Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel. Hannah, like some of the other mothers I mentioned, was childless as well, and she persevered in being barren. She was married to Elkanah, and she had another lady, Peninnah, who was also married to Elkanah. Every time you find multiple wives like that in the Bible, it's never a happy situation. And so here is Hannah, desperate to have a child, crying out to God in prayer, and we see Hannah show us what real prayer is, pouring out your heart to God in total honesty. and being so devoted to go to where the Lord's presence is there at the tabernacle. And there she cried out to God in prayer, and God heard her prayer. And the way that she surrendered her son, Samuel, to the Lord. You go back years before that, the mother of Moses, who is unnamed in the book of Exodus, we're simply told she was the tribe of Levi. She was a Levite woman. Yet the Egyptians had made an order that all those young Hebrew boys were to be put to death, and all she knew to do to keep her son safe was to take a basket, waterproof it, and put her little baby boy in that basket into the Nile River. But God in His providence guided little Moses to Pharaoh's house. What a brave woman. What a brave mother who entrusted her child to God that He might take care of her child, just as Hannah would entrust her son, little Samuel, to the Lord to be His servant. Here this mother gave her child to the Lord. And that's such a picture for us. No matter how old you are in life as a mother, you can always submit, present, yield your child, your children, to the Lord as a mother and even as a grandmother. We come to the New Testament. Oh, what we find there. We see Elizabeth early on in the book of Luke. She too, like so many of the other ladies in the Bible, she's barren, had never been able to have children yet. God did a miracle in her womb, and she carries and gives birth to John the Baptist, who prepares the way for the Lord Jesus. But of all the mothers in the Bible, who's been given the most honor and recognition, it has to be Mary, the mother of Jesus our Lord. How frightened she had to be to be told by the angel that she would conceive in her womb by the Holy Spirit the Savior of the world. And what did she say? Be it unto me according to your word. She humbly received an incredible burden, but oh, an incredible blessing, not only to her own heart in Joseph's life, her husband, but also to all people. That's why Mary is still loved and respected, even venerated today by many around the world. But Mary was always careful to give all the glory to the Lord. She prayed that prayer in the Magnificat, as it's called, and my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She knew that God was the one who had done this in her life. What an example we find in Mary. I could go on about more mothers in the Bible, but I want to conclude looking at a grandmother and mother that we read about in Paul's letter to young Timothy. You see, Paul writes these letters to young Timothy, who was his disciple, Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. And what do we find? We find the story of two women. No man is mentioned in Timothy's spiritual heritage, but two women are. Lois is mentioned first. His grandmother, she placed her faith and trust in Jesus, and she then passed that faith to her daughter, Eunice. And Eunice, of course, received Jesus as well, and then she passed that faith down to her son, young Timothy. And Paul himself said, I have no one else like Timothy. No other disciple, no other young pastor do I have like Timothy. I can know that he is going to serve you and do the work God has called him to do, not for his own gain, but for the sake of the gospel. But that spiritual heritage we find in young Timothy came from his grandmother, then to his mother, and then to Timothy. And I could not help but think about my precious grandmother, who is now with the Lord Jesus. She's been there for quite a few years. Such an example of humility, Christ-likeness, gentle love, and the way that she and my grandfather, who went to be with the Lord Jesus just a few months ago, ministered the gospel and planted the seeds of the gospel into my mom, and the way that my mom and my father laid a foundation for me and all of my brothers to be raised in a Christian home, I'm convinced that I would not be a follower of Jesus at a young age. I was 9 years of age when I became a follower of Jesus. I'm convinced that wouldn't have happened without Christian parents. And I'm convinced that I would not be a minister of the gospel without the prayers of my mother and my father. The impact, the legacy, the lineage being passed down spiritually from grandparent to child to grandchild. That is our prayer. That is our goal. That is the whole point of the Christian life, to pass the faith on to our own family. Not just to our family, but to people all over the world who need Jesus. Mom, I know you're watching on Facebook. I want you to know that I love you. Happy Mother's Day. I'm blessed to be the father of three beautiful children. And I'm blessed to have a wonderful wife of now almost 21 years. And Jennifer, I want you to know that I love you, that you're an incredible wife and mother, and the way that you have shaped and shape our children and lead them and love them and nurture them, I'm just so grateful to have you in my life. And my prayer is just as your mother and your grandmother and my grandmother, our grandparents, the way they impacted us with the gospel, that we might continue to pass the faith to our children, that they might pass the faith to their children. I told you that I was going to conclude with a great passage in the Bible about mothers, about wives, and it's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. These verses are hardly ever read in worship services like this. They typically are read at funerals. So we're going to change that today. We're going to read what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31, starting in verse 10, and go all the way to the end of this chapter. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes herself strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Today, my prayer is that all you mothers out there, that your works will be talked about and that you'll get some admiration and praise in the gates of your homes today. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for mothers. Thank you that we're here alive because a woman gave birth to us, God. We know that Eve certainly was and is the mother of the living, and we're here today because of our mother. So God, we're thankful. God, I thank you for this day. Let it be a great day of encouragement, of blessing. I know this has been the most unique Mother's Day of all because of what we're going through right now with this COVID-19 pandemic. So Father, for those family members who aren't able maybe to see each other from a long distance, Lord, I just pray that you would do a great work of grace and let people know just how much they're loved today. God, I pray that we would take serious the example we find in the Bible, especially what we find in the book of Timothy, how the gospel was passed down from grandmother to daughter to grandson. Lord, let us pass the faith to the next generation, then to the next generation, and not just to them, but to every person in this world. Thank you, Jesus, for being our hope. Thank you, Jesus, for being born of a woman for us. You could have just appeared on the earth, Jesus. That could have been the plan of God, but Father, you had a beautiful plan that your son would be born as a human being. Oh, what a plan it was and is, and how we're redeemed by that precious blood of Jesus who died for us on the cross and rose from the dead. God, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Mary who said, Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. And thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and all that he means to us. This Mother's Day and every day, God, let us give him first and foremost the glory and the honor and the praise. Lord, I pray right now for anyone listening to this message, any woman who is longing to be a mother and who is not yet a mother, God, I pray for your comfort, your strength, your blessing, your grace. Lord, I thank you that we can celebrate mothers today, and let us truly do that. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for life. Lord, you are so good. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.